Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show with T. Rice.
The Heart of Love.
Ooh, yeah.
Radio Show.
Radio Show, yeah.
The Heart of Love.
The Heart.
Radio Show.
Radio Show.
How you guys doing? This is Reverend Dr. G. Wright, and I am so blessed tonight that I have none other than the beautiful, magnificent Reverend Maybeth Edwards, who happens to be my aunt, one of my aunts. Auntie, I'm so glad to have you on here tonight.
Thank you, sweetie. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, we talk all the time. When we do talk, I'll say this, we've been busy, but when we do talk, we have some great conversations. And,
that's true.
And, you know, and I was like, you know, I have to have my auntie on the show tonight, Reverend Maybeth Edwards. I love you so much. And you've definitely been an angel in my life and the life of your family members. And I just need you to share some of your wisdom with everyone tonight.
Well, thank you, dear. It is my privilege to be here. I know you've had this for some time. As you said, it's been just a time of doing this, doing that, doing the other, but always wanting to be in the timing of the Lord. And
right.
So I'm just tickled that everything worked out and fell into place for me to be here and see my handsome nephew and be on your show and see how we can be of encouragement to your listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please hear this, my cousin, your daughter-in-law, Brenda. What's up, Brenda? And I'm sure Carlton is on here too. If y'all can share this on y'all pages. And on Auntie's page, I'm trying to do it right now. But Auntie, let me ask you a question. First of all, I have to say this. Ever since I've known you, since I was a little kid, you know, since you and Uncle Ronnie, when you guys had gotten married and everything, you know, you guys have definitely been pillars, godly examples, you know, in your marriage, in everything. You've been godly examples. And I just want to ask you about your walk with the Lord. What has it been like? When did you personally accept the Lord, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, and all stuff like that?
Well, that's a great question. Someone had asked me of that some time ago, and I mentioned it to a friend, and they just a little bit. And I said, don't worry. I've gotten it down. I've gotten it down to fewer words and a shorter story. So, you know, don't cringe. It's not going to take the whole meeting.
Hey, Auntie, can take your time. Take your time, Auntie. Take your time.
But I was raised going to church.
Right.
And that was a very, very much a part of our everyday cycle for myself and my older siblings. And we lived, when I was youngest, in a three-generational house. My siblings, my mom, and my grandparents. And my grandmother was saved. She was the churchgoer. And so, you know, when we went with her. And then there was a period of time where my sisters and my mom and I moved away, had our own place. And I love to hang out with my grandparents. I love to spend the weekends with them, and that meant I was going to church. So, and we had a the type of church where worship was lively, preaching was lively.
Right.
There was no going to sleep in the church. And I loved it. I sat as close to the front as I could because
right.
I loved all of the singing and the preaching and the dancing and all of that. And then there was a period of time when I was 16, just before I turned 17, and I had begun to think, oh, I'm getting a little grown here. I'm getting, I might step out and try a few things. And it was as if the Lord said, no, you know what, I'm going to call you instead. And I went to church one time, and I could not resist the pulling of the Spirit of the Lord. The only way I can describe it. Someone sang a song I know you're familiar with, Take Me Back.
Right.
By, sorry, dog's trying to come in here. Take Me Back. And Tremaine Hawkins. And
right.
I just could not resist the Lord pulling me and saying to me, you want to try a lot of things, but try me.
All right.
And trying him, Greg, I can only say I wish I'd have done it when I was 16 months, if I could
right.
have, instead of age 16, because he's been faithful through the years.
Mm.
He's been, he keeps his word.
Yes.
And if we give him a chance,
mm.
he'll prove who he is. He'll
Amen.
Prove himself faithful. So
Ooh.
That's my story. And like I said, I got it down. It's a little shorter than it was at first.
Well, listen, I love it. I love it, Auntie. I love it. I love it. Yes, I call her Auntie. That's one of my aunties I call her Auntie. Auntie Babette. Auntie Babette. Reverend Edwards. You know, I have to say this. First of all, I appreciate you sharing that message. When you said he keeps his word.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps his word. You talking about that pulling. What's that pulling like? So if someone's like saying, I don't know, how am I being pulled? Or how do you know it's pulling? What did it feel like?
That's a great, great question. And, you know, when we're in the church, per se, we tend to throw words around our own Christianese and
right.
use terms that we probably need to step back sometimes and explain
right.
and understand. But I can describe it as remembering standing in the pew or, you know, standing in church.
Right.
And I am feeling the Lord saying, you know, I love you and I want you and, you know, come to me, you know, give. And it's a sense where you hear the word of God. The Bible says that, you know, we have faith by hearing.
Yeah.
And so our first responsibility as Christians is to make sure that people who don't know the Lord, that they hear him, that they hear the word of God, that they hear about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, so that the Holy Spirit is then now drawing. And so emotionally, because the Lord is, he's real,
right.
so your emotions are involved, like you and I are talking, our emotions are involved, in
right.
good emotions, because you're a sweetheart, and
thank you, Auntie.
We have a good exchange here, but when the Lord is pulling you, you're going to feel emotions too. And it is a feeling that, for me at the time, it was a feeling that God is saying, I want you to surrender to me. And I'm thinking, you know what? I haven't decided whether or not I know more than you, God.
Right.
I haven't decided. I think I'm so smart. You know? I think I'm so clever.
Right.
I think I got it going on.
Right, right.
But when we feel the Lord is pulling us, we're not satisfied
right.
with the same script that we've played in our minds.
I love that.
You know, so as a teen and a preteen, I just thought I was so clever and I was so smart and I knew so much that I could make my own decisions. Just let me get old enough, you know, let me get old enough to be able to make my own decisions. And yet the Lord challenges that by saying, you know, I want to try me.
Mm.
And so that's how that pulling feels.
Wow.
Someone in your audience may feel like, okay, I know that I should be giving myself to the Lord more or in a certain area, but there's a lack of being comfortable until you rest in Him.
Until you rest in Him. Ooh. So let me ask you a question. You know, because Auntie, you're just a few years younger, but I can't say it.
That's right. We're going with that.
Yes. You are seasoned, Auntie. You're a seasoned saint. You love the Lord. You raise your kids in the Lord, and you have grandkids. A nice family, y'all. I love my family. But I wanted to ask you, how do you keep God first? Because you're dealing with life. You're going through things, and as I'm getting older and I'm experiencing something that I haven't experienced before. Since your season, how have you dealt with life's changes? How have you dealt with that?
Wow, that's so cool. Things first. And my pastor Keith Battle of Zion Church preached this a couple of weeks ago. And the priority is to give God your first. Give Him your first time as Mary did. I must confess, I raised my hand. I am a true Martha. I trying to get everything done. I got the crock pot on. I've got something in the microwave. Something in the dishwasher. Something in the washing machine.
Yes, and I've seen this. I've seen this.
Yeah, something chilling in the fridge and trying to freeze in the freezer. I mean, I've got it all going on at one time. But I've had to develop the habit of seeking Him first and doing that first thing in the morning.
Right.
And then as things change, you mentioned change. It's so easy for people to say, yeah, I'm gonna pray first thing in the morning. I'm gonna read the Bible first thing in the morning. But then something changes in your schedule. Okay,
right.
Something changes in that day. But then finding out what is priority for that day and how am I giving God my best for that day.
Right.
So as a case in point, yes, it is beautiful to get up in the morning, spend your time praising God, reading the Bible, journaling and all of that stuff. And then if you hit a season where, when I get up, I've got some time, and then there's a monkey wrench thrown in
right.
the whole schedule. Then I find out my challenge is, okay, now will you give Him that prime time in the evening?
Okay.
How about that time when you really just kind of want to chill, relax, and watch some television or catch up? That's prime time too. Will you give Him that prime time? You had an interruption in the evening, in the morning. So how about this prime time now?
Wow.
And what I love about the Lord and our relationship with Him, you never go to Him and He says, I don't have time for you. I'm not interested. He's always got time. So being able to flow with the Lord.
Wow.
And I just love the fact that Jesus said when He was leaving His disciples, He says, I'm going to leave you a comforter.
Right.
The Holy Spirit, the one called alongside to help you. And to just be able to say at any time, Holy Spirit, thank you for being right here
yes.
with me, right here, right now. So just being aware of His presence on a regular basis and pulling on Him and calling to Him.
Wow, Auntie, I got to tell you this. Now, guys, this is how we talk anyway, guys.
That's true.
I know. So
That's
I just know, Auntie, listen, we're just going to go ahead and talk how we normally talk. Auntie, you just threw it out there. It's like you said, give God priority, give Him the first.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said prime time, like if you have an interruption and you have that prime time in the evening, give the Lord your prime
mm-hmm.
time. Give Him that first. Now, I never
yeah.
thought about that. I think sometimes
mm-hmm.
we think first thing in the morning, I missed
mm-hmm.
it. I missed spending time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll catch you next morning, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I'll catch you next morning. Then there might be another interruption. But you said, when you said prime time, it just hit.
Mm.
It just hit when you said prime time. Mm. Giving them prime time.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, I discovered that almost accidentally.
Right.
Because it was a period where, and you asked me about what happens when life changes and you go through things in life. So there was a period where I wasn't sleeping well.
Right.
And so I might wake up and not get back to sleep until it was almost time to get up. And then when the alarm went off, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm trying to pray, but and then when I finally did come to and wake up and get myself together, now it's time to work. It's time for work. So then you're right. You can be in that guilt trip and say, oh, Lord, you know, I was so sleepy. I couldn't focus. I fell asleep. I went back to sleep. You know,
right.
I called myself praying, but I was really asleep. But then the Lord says, well, you're awake now.
Right.
You're awake now. So that's how that prime time came about.
Wow, you're awake now. That's so deep. And I say that, Auntie, I say that's so deep, but that it is. It's so simple, but it's kind of profound. But sometimes when we don't do it when we want to, we think, okay, well, that's it. But there's another thing when you really go out there and you really allow you to be flow with the Lord, you be, as you said, being able to flow and then just saying, okay, Lord, you know, here's my prime time right here now. Let me put you first.
Mm-hmm.
Was that ever rough? Was that ever a rough time? Did you ever go through a rough patch?
Well, you know, life in itself will bring you through rough patches.
Right.
Things are what brings the seasoning. Like, I love the format of your show, and the purpose of your show is to bring encouragement, to bring hope. But you're bringing that out of your experience with the Lord, you know.
Right.
When you say that he keeps his word, that means you've tried him.
Right. Go ahead, preach, Johnny. Go ahead.
Him. Yeah. You know, and he's come through.
Yes.
So, as you know, a big change in my life happened a few years ago when my husband passed away. And so having been married from at that time more than half of my life, all of a sudden, to not be married and all of a sudden to make decisions I didn't make before and just have to navigate life the way I did. Wow. Remember, this is why the Word of God is so important, that one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter.
Right.
So to be able to say in the middle of the day, Lord, comfort me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Pull on him in that way. It's just it's a whole new experience.
Yes.
There's a psalm that says, sing unto the Lord a new song.
Right.
And one of the things I thought about that is that what makes the song new?
Mm.
It's the backdrop. It's the background. So you may have said, you know, Lord, I love you as a married person. And then, Lord, I love you when the children came along. And Lord, I love you when the grandkids. But now when you say, Lord, I love you as a widow, that's the same, maybe the same words, but the song is different. Now you're singing it against a different background.
Wow.
And all of that comes from, the Lord does not change.
Mm. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, Auntie, that is some good word right there. That is some great word right there. The backdrop. That's what makes the song new.
And I remember, and I don't know if you featured it on your radio program or not, so I might be getting in just a little bit of trouble. But I remember when Uncle Rodney passed and you wrote that song.
No, you're good, Auntie.
That inspired you and was so encouraging and uplifting. And it was like God is saying, I want you to understand his passing in a different perspective.
Right.
And, you know, and that's how we can sing a new song.
Yeah.
We've walked with the Lord, and he gives us a different perspective. He gives
yeah.
us that which we need
yeah, you know,
to go on with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Angie, that wasn't overstepping at all. I have to say, that song, you know, Free, and it's like he was like talking right directly to you, talking directly to the family. And it's just amazing. I couldn't even look at it the same because you okay, Angie? I couldn't even look at it the same. You know, at the whole experience the same way. You know, the whole perspective. You know? You there, Angie? Can you hear me?
I don't know what I did wrong here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you, Auntie.
Okay.
It just it's your
like,
your line had gone off.
Monitors, it's like everything jumped around.
Okay.
So now your audience knows I am not a professional.
Hey, listen, you are a professional. Listen, you're a professional. But I got to tell you that song helped me to look at it a whole different way. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just amazing how, like I said, different backdrop.
Yeah.
And I have to say this, Auntie, you've gone through these things, you've gone through life since then with so much grace, so much poise, and teaching us how to look at life, teaching us, you know, you're still being an example.
Well, you know, I have to just say all the glory to God, all the
right.
glory to God, because he is the one who has, like I said, who has proven himself.
Right.
And, of course, you know, nobody wants to go in to have trouble. Nobody
right.
wants to have a rough time. But how do you know that he's faithful until you do?
Mm.
How do you get that until you do? I'm sitting in a chair. You're sitting in a chair. How do we know the chairs will hold us up until we sit in it?
Mm.
Put our weight on the Lord. And he comes through, that helps us for the next time.
Wow.
For the next time. So he's so thankful.
And amen. Amen. You know, Auntie, let me ask you a question. You know, no, I'm come on, let me ask you a question. Now I love saying Auntie. This is Reverend Babette Edwards, my aunt. And I love she's my
Reverend Auntie.
Yes, Reverend
I'm
Auntie.
Your auntie.
Yes.
And always gonna be your auntie.
Yes, always
call
always.
Me auntie. Long.
Yes. You know, I say, you know, y'all, this is how we talk. This how, and, you know, so you can imagine when all of us, when I get together with my cousins, we have such a great time. We have such
yeah.
a great time. And, you know, in this season, what is the Lord place in your heart to really share with all of us tonight, Angie?
You know, and it's almost ironic or almost an oxymoron to say that so the Lord was talking about rest in him, you know, and I say almost ironic because, as I said in the beginning, there's just so many things that I'm doing and trying to accomplish and get finished and get through, but his rest in Hebrews 4:9, when it says there remains a rest unto the people of God, he's not necessarily just talking about inactivity, but
right.
he's talking about a rest in him, like a putting to rest. That word also means a calming of the wind.
Right.
And when you think of how Jesus was asleep on the boat with his head on a pillow, which means he intended to go to sleep. He didn't just nod off. He went, I'm going to bed.
Right.
But where we are doing what we do through Christ and from a place of trust in Christ and not just trying to do it in our own strength.
Right.
And in our own time. And, you know, when you young, you feel like you can make things happen. You can just, I can just move and shake and da, da, da. But even with youth on your side, you want to always do things through the Lord. Through his timing, because that's what he said, because that's what he's calling. So
right.
It's that rest that comes from trust.
Mm.
It's that rest that comes from faith, you know. It's that rest that, you know, sometimes Greg might say to you, hey, it's time for you to take a vacation.
Right.
I trust the Lord. And then sometimes that rest might be, you know what, I'm going to have to line some other things up because this is what the Lord is saying for this season. So it's a time of trusting in the Lord, resting in him, and being assured of his faithfulness.
Mm.
Because one of the things we can say over the last year and a half with the pandemic is that fear has been rampant.
Yes, yes.
But God's people should still be standing in faith because he did not change.
Right.
He's the same. So that resting in him, that trusting in him, because we believe in him.
Mm. Rest and trust because we believe in him.
We believe in him, you know. I tell you, you know, the Bible refers to us, if we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, we're children of God. Think about how a child does not stop worrying about anything.
Right.
In fact, they'll come to you with some outlandish stuff, you know, at 10, talking about, Daddy, can I have a car? Something crazy like
right.
that. But they have that trust. Well, God is worthy of our trust.
Hmm.
He's earned it. He deserves it.
Yes.
We always say he's worthy of the praise, but he's worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our trust.
Mm.
And there's a parable that I think we've read and we've probably come to the wrong conclusion in
right.
Luke 18, the unjust judge.
Right.
And if you remember, this is a parable. Jesus says, you know, this woman came to the judge and she kept bugging him. And he said, look, I don't care nothing about people. I don't care about God, but she's getting on my nerves. So therefore, I'm going to grant what she wants. That's pretty much the bet.
Right.
Onto the bet first. And so, but Jesus said, won't God avenge his children speedily? He said, won't he do it right away? He didn't say God is the unjust judge. He says, in contrast, God is going to take care of his children right away. Then he says, and this always challenges me. He says, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Mm.
In other words, when God comes through in my situation, will it be because I believed him? Or will he find me believing him, trusting him? Or will I say, oh, man, I can't believe God came through, as if he's behind on child support?
Right.
So that rest on him, that
right.
trust in him,
yes.
that God's got me. He's here. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. That's what I believe the Lord is expecting of us. And if we're faltering in that, we're worried. If it's finances, it's health, we're scared of, you know, our own shadow, then we have to go back to his word and find out what his word says on the matter. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And we think having heard. Yeah, I heard.
Right.
But hearing.
Hearing.
And then that's where we build our faith. And that's why we are, you know, so scared of everything, because we've been hearing some of the wrong things. And
right.
that makes us afraid of the dark.
Right.
Ooh. But let's hear the word of God. Let's hear his promise.
Amen. I love how you said it, Auntie. Faith comes by hearing. You got to hear it. So if you're not hearing it, what are you listening to?
There you go.
That other part you said, the part where you say about, you talk about the Lord, but he's worthy of our praise. You say he's also worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our faith.
Yeah.
I never heard it quite like that. Ooh, see, this is my auntie, y'all. This is a seasoned saint, Reverend Babette Edwards. Faith comes by hearing. Yeah, auntie, that makes sense. Can we say he's worthy of the praise? He's worthy of our trust because he's already proven himself time and time again. You might not understand it, but he's always been there. And I love what you said. You said having heard. We say, oh, yeah, I heard that, but no, hearing, present. Part of hearing.
Yes.
That's a present thing. That's always
that's
hearing.
A present thing. Yes.
Always listening to.
Yes. 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 And hear it again. You know, we have a phrase that might go something like this. Somebody might call you and they say, Greg, the devil's trying to take my job, you know, or the devil's trying to take my money, or the devil's trying to take my car. What's the devil going to do with
you? Right.
The devil don't want your job, your car, your man. What he wants is your faith. What he wants is your trust in God. And so when these things come against us, because they do, we live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
It's for us to remind ourselves, this is what God has said. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said he'd supply my needs. He said he would guide me, lead and guide me into all truth. Because that's when we need to hear it again. I heard it. No, you need to hear it again to get that faith out.
I love it.
Yes,
hear it again. Keep on hearing. Keep on hearing. Keep on hearing. Don't stop.
Don't stop.
No, I love that part. We said, enemy. He said, enemy not after your whoever you're dating. Enemy not after all this. He's after your trust. He's after your faith in God.
Yes. Exactly.
So it's like if we're going to either we're going to lean on God throughout this situation, in this season that we're in, or we're not.
Yeah.
Either we're going to, and if hearing, if we're feeling it, feeling down, we need to hear the word.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like what we need to hear today, because like I said, instead of being fueled by fear, replace that fear with faith. Use wisdom, but fuel that thing. What does the word of God say? Do what God's telling you to do. If God tells you to stop, then stop.
Exactly. You know, that's what God intended back in Genesis with Adam and Eve. He intended for them to hear what he said and go his way. But instead, they wanted to have the knowledge of good and evil themselves. So they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then that puts them in a position that I was in before I gave myself to the Lord. And, you know, not that I have arrived, because, of course, we all will get a temptation.
Right.
We'll all be tempted to worry, to fear, et cetera, et cetera. But where I was before is, hey, I'm intelligent. I can figure this out. And God wanted them to, no, I want you to live from my word.
Right.
You know, we live from every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And so instead of being beings who can tell God, oh, I know how I should live. You know, I know what I should do and what I should be and what. We should be beings that say, I'm yours. What do you want? You know. I call on you as Savior and Lord. You're my Lord, my owner, my boss. What do you think? What do you say is, you know, the right job or the right relationship or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not that you just stay in a state of inactivity until you hear a booming voice.
Right.
But giving God first place means you give him that space. You give him the right to say, no, not today. You know, go. No, not, no, I want you to do something else today. Or, or let me throw this in. Or you trust him so that when you get up and you really did have five things you planned to do and you had to do one thing instead that was completely not even on your list, you begin to say, okay, God, I trust you. because I'm not running. I don't run anything. I run nothing. I am not in charge of anything. So it is for me more and more just becoming a place of trust.
I love what you said.
A place of okay, God.
Perfect. I love that. When you said, I'm not in charge of anything, that really just hit. It really just hit home like smack, like, oh, yeah. I'm not in charge of anything.
Think about, for your listeners, how much mental anxiety there is in trying to be God. Trying to know everything.
Right.
Trying to do everything.
Right.
Trying to be everywhere. Trying to be for everybody. There's only one person who fits that bill.
There's only one.
And it becomes a learning, a place of learning for me to say, gosh, I've got kids, I've got grandkids, I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about that. But Father, before I try anything, let me give them to you. Let me give them to you again.
Yeah.
and to surrender. Because you have to realize that Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest unto your soul. And one of the best descriptions I heard of that when he said, take my yoke upon you, is that his yoke fits. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden, and his yoke fits. So, you know, to be yoked to the Lord with one that's fitting, that he designed for me, means that I can handle what he gives me. But there are times I have to go back and ask him, what are you saying? Is this what you're saying? Sometimes we get overcommitted. I can be overcommitted, you know. And, you know, if I can't see who in your audience, but if there are any friends of mine, they're saying yes and amen. But I can be overcommitted. And I have to, but I'm learning to say, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do and to be in this?
I love that. You know, the whole thing about being overcommitted, that really, really hits home. And trying to be the fact that sometimes we try to say, you know, God, I got this. I just need to help. I got it from here, Lord. Let me take it from here because I know what I'm doing. And I know for myself, that's when I get into trouble. That's when I get off track when I think, oh, I can go ahead and do this. Thank you, Lord. I got it. But instead, like you said, I have to give it to the Lord again. I quote that when you said I have to give it to the Lord again, meaning that you probably gave it to him, but you picked it back up. Then say, okay, Lord, yes, this belongs to you, Lord. How was it when you first began, when you first realized that's what you were doing?
Well, you know, I think it's sort of like an onion in that there are different layers. You peel back a layer and then you find there are other layers.
Right.
I will say that being a mom is probably a very telling place, a very telling role in terms of giving things to him, because you have your children and they're little and you can, you know, pretty much run their lives. You know, this is what you do. This is where you go. This is da, da, da. And then they get older. They get more independent. All my children are grown. And then you realize, wow, they are adults. And that can be another place of anxiety. And to you, okay, God, I'm giving it to you again. I'm giving it to you again. Giving it to you again. And in praying for them and trusting God for their future and my grandchildren's future, you can't help but give it to them again, because this is also a place where the enemy comes with anxiety you know, what about this and what about that and what about the other? The truth is you really cannot run anyone's life but yours. And if you do run your own life, you realize you're not doing that great of a job. You may as well give it all to the Lord.
Right.
You may as well give them and, you know, and give you yourself. So it has – what I love about the Lord is that he lets us learn progressively.
Right.
He lets us learn progressively. So, you know, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 16. Probably one of my first challenges was – a church function I wanted to go to, and it looked like I wasn't going to go to it. And I simply said, well, okay, God, I'm yours now. And maybe an hour later, everything opened up and I went. And I mean, that sounds so nerdy, but that oh, my God, thank you. But once you've done that and you've trusted him, and then you trust him as a single person and he comes through, and then you get married, you trust him as a wife, and then he comes through. It just helps you to build, you know, your faith.
Guys, listen, I got to say, my auntie that I know, that I said this the other day on the show, like last week, as far as like, building your faith, if you've gone through it, you've trusted him in this area. So if he's done that before you, for you before, then you can continue to trust him. And it's like, you don't have to go crazy or become anxious. You don't have to become anxious because you've already tried him. And if he's come through for you before, he'll come through for you again.
Exactly.
And if you're connected to people, who you've seen God come through for.
Yeah.
We've seen God, right? Come through. So I sit in and say, I remember this. When I was little, I remember this. And I've seen God come through. That's how, you know what? If God came through for Uncle Rodney and Uncle Bet, God come through for me too.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So we look and see how God's done in our lives. Hey, Carlton. I love my cousin. Carlton Rodney. They're probably up here. Little Nanny. But just joking. But if I've seen God work in your life, you know, and God will work in my life. Because I've gotten to this point right now where, as you know, we talk about different changes, different seasons, things like that, so much. So that's like, you know what? God has been there for me. He's going to be there for me now.
Exactly.
And I love how you did it, said that, Auntie, through different stages. Single, married, children, grandkids, widow. God has been there. The backdrop might have changed, but he's been there. He's been there.
Absolutely. And you know, what the Lord doing in your life in terms of that stability is because you have decided. And see, this is something that people don't always, that I don't always hear people say, but you can decide what you're going to believe and you can decide if you're going to stand, but you have decided to stand. And I'm so tickled, nephew, that you decided to stand in the midst of life, because life is never a predictable thing. Things change, you know, people change, jobs change.
Right.
But you have decided to stand. And it reminds me, as I had alluded to a little earlier, when Jesus was asleep in the boat on a pillow, the storms and all of that. And, you know, they were afraid of him when he rebuked the wind and he calmed them. They were like, "What? Wow, this is deep. Now, wait a minute. This is deep. But they stayed with him. They did not leave Jesus. And you staying with him, not leaving him, is just such rock solid encouragement to others. You know that you don't even realize. You realize, okay, well, you know, okay, God, you know, this is a rough corner. This is a rough day. This is a rough situation.
Right.
But you're still there. But people see that in you. And so I just wanted to make sure I let you know that that is going to have an impact even further than what you know. Just just trusting God, just standing.
Thank you. Thank you, Auntie. Don't make me cry on here. I am not going to cry. I am not going to cry on here tonight. But I'm going to cry afterwards. No.
Afterwards, okay.
Yeah, no, Auntie, thank you so much, Auntie, because, you know, you're my aunt, so you've seen me go through those things. And when you're talking, I was just thinking about, like, pillars in the family, like when Grandma passed. And, you know, and it's like, what do you do? You know, I hear now, you praise the Lord, praying Psalm 91. You know, you know, you're going to pray, you know, ask the Lord, you know, so, and then, you know, of course, that sounds funny. That sounds like something like that Uncle Rodney would say, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, what do? You continue to stand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
this whole life thing is just so different than what I expected when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But like I said, just stand. I thank you for even sharing that. That kind of helped, not saying kind of, that really helped encourage me. Because sometimes we don't see that people see. But you saw me go through. You saw me go through those different stages. You saw me depressed. You saw everything I went through. And you still loved me. You still encouraged me. Still encouraged me to keep God first. Even in the midst of everything else that was going on.
Yeah.
But I know it's like kind of like sometimes you go through life and you don't see where you are at that point and where you're going to end up. You just say, you know, I'm going to keep on trusting, keep on living, keep on trusting. You know, and at some point, you just have to say, you know what, like I've heard you say before, you know, you got to stand.
Mm-hmm.
You got to trust him. God will bring you through, work through everything, and just trust and just keep on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, when people talk about rest, right, it's like sometimes people think about the physical part, like going, I know I used to think, rest in the Lord when I was younger, go to sleep. You know, yes, I'm going to rest in the Lord, I'm going to go to sleep. You know, but it's deeper than that. It's about trusting him.
Yeah.
Day by day, like you're saying, being able to go with the flow, resting, trusting. You're not, you say it's yours, Lord. I take my hands off. It's up to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you.
Exactly. So I had a situation. This was several years ago, over 20, I want to say, years ago, and this just came to mind while you were saying, because it dawned on me, you know, it's good to talk about trust and rest and rest and trust, but is there a story that can make it concrete to your listeners? And on the job that I had at the time, I got a notice of being laid off. And so I thought, okay, gosh, you know, and I started looking in the one ad at the time to work at another company. But I heard the Lord say, I'm not done with you at this company, at that particular company. Now that's where the rest and the trust come in. So I was like, well, okay. And so instead of pulling out the one ads and looking at other companies, started looking to see what was going on internally, because it was a big shift, big downsizing in the company, and just started applying for whatever. My position at the time was eliminated, so I was just going to apply for whatever. So what the company had done at the time is they knew they had a big shift, but they didn't want people to just up and leave and then leave all these positions unfilled. So they said, okay, so if you know your job is going to be eliminated, we're going to pay you time and a half until the last day of your job, just so you can stay on, just so you can keep working. So I was salaried, and so I wasn't getting time and a half. So for me to begin to get time and a half was like, that's a bonus. That's extra money. Okay. So I found a position. Actually, a position came to me that was because I used to train people to do this position. Now I'm going to work in this position. But what happened was the actual start date got pushed back like 3 times. So instead of getting 2 weeks of time and a half, I got almost 2 months of time and a half.
Wow.
As a salaried person. And then shortly after I went through class for this position, I was asked to lead the Bible study that was there for people who wanted to come at lunchtime. They just wanted to come during their lunch and read the Bible. And then just continued to work that, and then got promoted and get raises and et cetera, et cetera. But my whole point of that was resting in him let me know it was time to leave, it was time to stay.
Ooh.
It ended up with a financial bonus. It ended up with a bonus of being able to teach the word, encourage other people in the word, and it ended up with a story that I can share and say to someone, God will tell you or help you with whatever it is that's laying heavy on your heart.
Mm.
There's some people in your audience that are, they're like what you would call at their wit's end, and so we want to encourage you that God's got it and he's got the solution.
Yes.
And he knows exactly what doors to open and what doors to close.
Honestly, it's amazing you saying that because, you know, I didn't even share this part with you, but I'll share this, some of the stuff my mom would say, don't share too much, you know, on Facebook, but I can share a little bit of this one. The rest I'll share with you offline. But
okay.
But that part I'm going to say, when you were talking about that job mm-hmm. thing, you know, example, what you went through, what you experienced. And it's like, mm-hmm. me, God was like, you know, 'cause you know, I work a lot of hours. And God was like, you need rest. So I said, okay, I'm going to work 2 days in the month of December. So I'm going to work 2 days. So I took over someone and I was like, why did I switch my days? And I thought, It's like I was feeling like Will was like, you know, you're supposed to be resting. And I said, I'm going to rest. And I thought about the money. And I was like, oh, no, I'm at least do 2 days of two nights of overtime. And and then, as you know, some things have happened, you know. So now it's just a matter of can't do that. So it's like I'm having to, that word, rest.
Yeah.
Rest. You know, and I remember when God put that in my heart a couple weeks ago, like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was speaking with a coworker, and the coworker was like, this is the time of the year where everyone wants to work time and a half, wants to get paid time and a half. This is the month, November, December are the months where you want to work all the overtime that you can get. I said, I've been doing this for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to take a break this month. So he was looking at me like, you're crazy. And, and it's funny. I was like, well, I'm going to work more two. I'm going to work the end of November. I'm going to take two days in the month of December. And now it's like, boom, can't do it. But that whole thing, it was meant for me to rest. And, you know, be there for my mom, be there. And then also rest for me, rest.
Yeah. There you go.
No, it's listen, and listen, I tell you this. You didn't, I mean, of course you knew because you're my aunt. We've talked, but I didn't share that with you. I didn't share that at all. Mm-hmm. Look how the Lord.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Look how the Lord works. Like, and I talk about resting on the part about the resting, the physical part.
Yeah.
And God's working with me on that part, like, say, like, that one day a week, don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do anything. Just rest.
Like
even on Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
it was a time, even though people were cooking and things like that, you know, and we were busy here and there, but it was still a time of rest. It was fun.
You know, we had
and we took a nap. We took a nap. We took a nap too.
We did. Greg was at my house, and my Thanksgivings are late, loud, and busy.
Right.
And there was a point where everything that I had to do was done, and I was like, oh, God, I can lay in the floor.
You almost lay in the floor,
Greg,
aren't you?
He sat on my couch, and he said, Auntie, let's all take a nap. And I said, bing! And I got up and went and laid down. He sat on my couch, put his fedora over his head, and that was that. And when I got up, I was so refreshed and ready for the party.
Yes.
And we did. We just had a beautiful time. But thank you. I don't think I've ever just, everything was in the oven or out the oven. Everything,
I know.
Gravy, everything was done. I just lay down.
Listen, you had trained Robbie
Jr. I love
June.
That.
Yes, you had trained Robbie Jr.
Man.
Well.
Yes, he was cooking that grill and that on the grill, and that food was good. Now I got to teach him how to not lay everything out, because the next day we were like, well, where the leftovers?
Would you still eat it? Did you still eat it, Auntie? Did you still eat it? That was a lot of food. Then.
What I could find.
Let me tell you this. That was amazing, wasn't it? Because
mm-hmm.
we got some good rest.
Yeah.
We got some. Well, you got a little bit more. You got like, I think, like 40 minutes to almost an hour, right?
Don't.
Oh, my bad.
I'm going to be like your mom.
Okay. I'm glad you called me. But, you know, Auntie, that whole thing about rest is amazing that you talk about that. And that was, it was so refreshing.
Yeah.
So just imagine if we take what you said tonight and we do that and we give God prime time and we be ready to flow,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a refreshing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have to worry about trying to be God. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't have to try to be God.
Yeah. Yeah, we can fire ourselves from being God.
You know, Auntie, you know, even we're saying that, people do that. We do that, too. We do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. To learning to trust him, you know, to not try to be God and to let God be God.
Yeah.
Okay, let him be God.
Let him be God.
And there's a rest. There's a rest for the children of God, and that rest is in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
His finished work. He did the heavy lifting.
Yes.
We act like we gotta go to the cross and all of that. He did the heavy lifting, and we just flow in him.
I love that, Auntie. I love you, Auntie. This is Reverend.
Love you.
Baby Edwards. I love my Auntie. I love you, Auntie, so much. And this is how we talk anyway. So I look forward to having you back on the new year, in the new year.
Yes, sir.
And we can have some more conversations with Aunt Babette. That's what it's going to be.
Amen.
Love you, and thank you so much for standing up for me, Auntie.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. God bless you and all your guests.
Thanks so much. God bless you, Auntie. And
all right.
It sounds like we have to get you a website and everything, so ask Aunt Babette.
Okay.
Okay.
That'll work.
Okay. Love you. Talk to you later.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Listen, that was none other than my Aunt Babette, and I love her so much. grateful for her, grateful for those who came through, my cousins who came through tonight. And guys, I know you guys are blessed. You know, please share on you know, Facebook Live what inspired you, what touched you throughout this hour with my Aunt Bibette, Reverend Bibette Edwards. God bless you. I pray God will continue to bless you, continue to bless my aunt for coming out and sharing. And guys, be encouraged. And I look forward to seeing you again on next Tuesday from 9 to 10. God bless you. Don't forget, check out my website, gwrightonline.com. Also, my music on iTunes and other online radio stations. I want to say God bless you. Have a great night. Be encouraged and continue to rest.